to any supermarket, and it'll just blow your mind. If you're specifically, if you're from another country, and you come, like if you come from like I've heard of them bringing kids that come over from Russia, and they bring them down to Giant Eagle, and they're like, amazing, the shelves are full and stuff. And even some Americans have experienced this. There's a missionary family that I know, and they weren't overseas very long. They may have only been gone for like years, but they came back for a visit. They're on furlough just for a short period of time, and the husband decided he was going to go to Walmart and pick up some Oreo cookies, but he wasn't prepared for what he was going to see. Because when he got to the grocery store, he didn't just see Oreo cookies. He saw Oreo cookies, the regular ones, then the double-stuffed Oreo cookies, then the cherry-filling type Oreo cookies, and then the vanilla wafer Oreo cookies, and then my personal favorite, the chocolate-dipped Oreo cookies. Is that good or what? And he flipped out. He was not prepared for that, so I think he just went home because he couldn't make the choice because the choices were so many. Now, for me, there would have been only one choice, chocolate dipped. But anyway, so he related that story to me, and I was over at his house for a visit, and he has six kids, and five of them were with him, so I got each five kids a different bag of Oreo cookies, just to make a point. But have you ever been in that place where you had to make a choice? You had to make a decision? You know, we all have. We make choices every day. And some choices are more critical than others. And there is the most important choice that we can ever make is the choice of accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is the most critical choice that we make, because unlike the momentary pleasure of chocolate-dipped Oreo cookies, this is eternal. This is eternal. I want to talk about choices today. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua, toward the end of Joshua. So if you go through your Bible, you've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then you get to Joshua. And I want you to flip over to the very last chapter of Joshua, to the end, just before you get to the book of Judges. Now, let me give you some background on the story. You all know the story of Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and how they wandered the wilderness for 40 years. And then they were on the border of the Jordan River, And Moses went up on a mountaintop and died. Before he died, he got to view the promised land. And now Joshua is taking the helm. And he is commissioned with the task of going forward and taking the land. And, you know, they made a movie, The Ten Commandments. I wonder when they're going to make a movie about Joshua. Because this guy was a warrior. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because when somebody takes over after a strong leader, Moses was a strong leader. And after, you know, Moses, he was the one that led the children of Israel across the Red Sea on dry ground. And they remembered all the stuff that Moses had done, and Moses was gone. And okay, now they're looking to Joshua, and what kind of leader is he going to be? And one of the first things he did was had the Ark of the Covenant precede the warriors going into the land, and they stepped onto the Jordan River, and the waters dried up. And the people passed on the Jordan River on dry ground. And he led the children of Israel. And they battled throughout the promised land. And now we're getting to the end of that. They've gotten most of the promised land conquered. There's still areas they still need to conquer. But we're going to pick up on verse 14, and we're going to read to 21. And basically, he's giving them a charge. And I want us to put ourselves into the picture here and understand what this charge is about. It says, and this is in the English Standard Version, Now therefore, this is Joshua speaking. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river. Okay, that's talking about the gods from the area which is now known as Iraq. Their ancestor Abraham had come from an area in Ur of the Chaldees, where they would make idols. That was a popular thing in that area. They'd make idols, and God or Abraham believed that there was only one God and was serving him, and God called him out of that. And so now Joshua is charging them not to serve those gods or the ones in Egypt. And if you remember, in Egypt, there were many gods in Egypt, and they had all kind of idols there. A matter of fact, I was reading the book, and it was talking about the different pharaohs of Egypt and how they worshiped many gods. And then this one pharaoh came along and only worshiped one god, and they called him the heretic. So Joshua's telling them, look, stick with the one true God. And he says, and serve the Lord. And in verse 15 it says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you'll serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all the way we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, as we enter into this message, Lord God, I just pray that you use me as a mouthpiece of what you would have your people hear and know. Lord, help me just have the ability to articulate what you've laid on my heart to share. And I just pray your Holy Spirit would be working in the hearts of everyone here to receive what you would have them receive. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's kind of interesting here how Joshua draws the line in the sand in front of the people and makes it clear to them about what they're going to face. Are you going to serve God or not? You know something? It seems to me it's easy to serve God in the tough times. I got an acquaintance who, anytime he's going through a tough time, man, he's there in church, he's there serving God, he's reading and praying. And then when things go good, he forgets, like so many of us. And it's kind of interesting here. Joshua draws a line in the sand and he says, you know something? It's not enough that your fathers served God. You know, even there's an old hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. It's not enough that they claimed Abraham as their ancestor and were part now of the nation of Israel. You know, and people even to this day say, you know, we live in a Christian land. And I don't believe that's true, but some people will say that. And Israel was known as God's chosen people. And so the people could just posture themselves in that. And we're God's chosen people. And it wasn't enough that they were now in the promised land. They're in the land that God had promised. And they're in this protected area now. They're no longer slaves. They're in the land that God had promised Abraham way back when. You know, it's not enough. It's not enough because Joshua wants them right then, right there, to make a choice. He wants them to choose God now. And I want to say this particularly for the young people here today. I was raised in a Christian home, but I didn't receive Christ. I did not choose to receive Christ until I was in college. I was about 20 years old, and I wished I had done it earlier. I had wished I had done it earlier, but for some reason, I thought I was okay with God, but I had never made a choice to receive Jesus Christ. No one becomes a Christian by birth. We got some lovely kids here in the congregation, don't we? Some really cute babies. Have I showed you my picture of my grandson? But nobody becomes a Christian by birth. Nobody becomes a Christian by being born in a certain country. You know, other countries view the United States as a Christian land, but I'll tell you something. We got a long way to go to be a Christian land. And not everybody in this Christian land are Christians. You don't become a Christian by being born in a certain country. And you don't become a Christian by sitting inside a church. You know, I was at the funeral service for Chris's brother, Chris. Anyway, and Kirk was sharing a message, and I always love it when Kirk does a funeral because he really unpacks the gospel. You know, they say at weddings people look, but at funerals people listen. And it's a good opportunity to present the gospel. I love the way Kirk did it because he was talking to people, many of whom probably were churched, who sat in churches maybe every Sunday. But he said, you know, sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car. And I like how he unpacked that. Everyone who comes to Christ makes a choice. They choose to receive the death of Jesus as payment for their sins. And you know, I love it the way John 3:16 puts it. And I know some of you are wearing your Browns shirts. I love diehard Browns fans because they're people of hope. They are people of hope. And I'm with you, brethren. I'm with you. And you know, when you're looking in the stadium, as the camera pans the stadium, more often than not, you'll see John 3:16 posted somewhere, somebody holding up a sign, John 3:16. Why do they do that? Because those are words of life, brothers. Those are words of life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Notice it says, whoever believes in him. Those are action words, people. Those are action words. That requires a response from every one of us. And particularly you young people, I want to encourage you today, if you have never made a decision for Christ, you say, oh, but I'm part of a youth group, but I've been part of this church forever. Have you prayed to receive Christ? Have you expressed your love for him and repentance and the desire to live your life for him? There is a person to receive in Jesus Christ. A choice has to be made. I remember one time we were at, a family reunion for my wife's, and her one uncle came with all his kids, and I think he's got about six kids, and they're all wearing T-shirts that said, "I'm a whosoever." And I like that, you know, because in the King James it says, "Whosoever believeth in him." If you've believed in him today, you're a whosoever. Pretty cool, huh? A choice has to be made, and I'm not talking about having a religious experience. I know a lot of people that have had religious experience, and it didn't make the impact that you think it would have. A matter of fact, back in the day, there was a restaurant in town called Friendly's Restaurant. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And I took this young man to dinner, and we're having dinner together. And he's relating to me a story of what happened when he was a small boy. When he was a small boy, he was going deaf. And his father took him to a church. And I don't know at what part during the service, but at one point, his father takes him down front and has the elders and the pastor of the church lay hands on him and pray for him. And instantly, he was healed. He said he could hear a watch tick for the first time. He could hear a watch tick. And as he's relating this story, you got to get a picture for this because this is a small restaurant and people are packed in. And the waitress comes over and says, you know, I've heard of God doing stuff like that in other people's lives, and he's done that in my life too. And she's inspired by these words that this young man has told me. And these guys sitting across the aisle from us, and they're engaging in the conversation, and the testimony of Jesus's goodness to this guy is having an effect on them. The problem was, this guy was not serving God. He had a religious experience. It had a wonderful impact on him physically. But he wasn't serving God. Just because you've had a religious experience doesn't mean you're a Christian. What I'm talking about here is a conscious decision for Jesus Christ. And that's why Joshua says here, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you chosen Jesus Christ? Maybe you're not sure. We're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to do that. Or maybe you're one of those guys who kind of like being a fringe Christian. All right, yeah, I prayed the prayer, but I'm happy with the status quo. Let me tell you something. In Christianity, there's no such thing as a status quo. You're either growing in him or you're going the other direction. You know, even though I prayed to receive Christ, there was a time in my life where I made a conscious decision to go deeper in with God. I was in a group of young people. We're all praying together, and the prayer turned into worship, and the worship turned into something more deep, and we felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and one by one, everybody in that room started receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And I was looking at the door, saying, you know, all I need to do is get up and walk out that door. But I wanted what they were getting, and I stuck it out. And boy, am I glad I did. And I'm not saying you need to be weird like me. You can be weird like you. Amen? God will make you weird in the way he wants you to be weird, but whatever. God is calling us to a deeper relationship with him. Don't forsake that. Don't be happy with the status quo. Go deeper in. You know, some Christians I've met live what I call a seesaw existence. A seesaw existence. Their life was transformed. They received eternal life in Jesus Christ with their choice. But you know what? Life is lived out as a series of choices. And every day, we make choices. And like Bill was saying, you know, we're sinners. And every day, we have a choice. Sometimes we make a sinful choice. Sometimes we make a righteous choice. But every day we have choices to make. And Joshua, when he was talking to the people, he was talking to a people that had seen God move in the past. They'd seen God do wonderful things in the present. But did they have the wherewithal to make the right choices in the future to stick with God? And he says to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done good. You know, if you read the book, the Old Testament books, you will see the children of Israel and how they struggled, how for some times they were serving God and doing well, and other times they weren't serving God and weren't doing so well. A matter of fact, if you look at the following book right after Joshua, you have the book of Judges. And one of my former pastors used to call it the book of bad examples. All right? And you'll see those kind of seesaw existence. Is that the existence you want? Is that the existence you want? Last weekend, I went over to New York to help my dad cut some trees down. My dad's 89 years old, and he's a little bit nervous cutting down trees by himself anymore. So I was cutting the tree down. And, You know, I was thinking while I was doing that, when I was a lad, when I was a young little boy, my dad cut his hand with a chainsaw. It was an accident. He cut his left hand with a chainsaw. And I remember to this day him being off work for several weeks as his hand was healing up. He wasn't allowed to work. And it was unusual for him to be home during the day. And it was during the winter. And we're all like, come on, Dad, why don't you play with us in the snow? And he's like, well, I'm not allowed to and everything. But as I'm cutting the trees down here last weekend, I'm thinking of him, how he cut his hand. And by golly, I'm not going to let that happen to me. You know, and I was talking to a guy at Men's Challenge one time, and he asked me, you think it's better to learn from the mistakes of others or to make mistakes yourselves and learn from them? And I'm like, well, you know, on my dad's right hand, he's missing a thumb because he made a mistake. And I'd rather learn from his mistake than go through life without my right thumb. So I think it's better to learn from the mistakes of others. People, are you willing to learn from the mistakes of others? Do you want to live a seesaw existence? Because every day we're going to make a choice. Every day you're going to be confronted with choices. Some of the choices may seem, very innocent. Oh, you know, maybe, run off with this one person and do some things. Well, yeah, but you know, in the past, a lot of times when I go off with this person, it doesn't always end well. Maybe I better make a better choice than that. Or, I remember this one lady who she was struggling with her rent, and she had told her landlord, I have the money, I just need to get it to you. Well, she lied. And somebody else came to her and said, you know something? God's not going to bless you if you continue in that lie. So she went to her landlord and confessed her lie, and almost immediately somebody provided the money for her. Every day we're faced with choices. Every day we have a choice to sin or not to sin. My dad is Dutch. If you ever listen to him speak, you'll know he's got a thick Dutch accent. And the Dutch have a saying, and I'm not going to say it in Dutch, because the Dutch have this thing with a G, you know, and it's sometimes I spit. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but I'll save you from that. But anyway, the Dutch have a saying, it's loosely translated, from little sips, you will become drunk. From little sips, you will become drunk. And you think they may not matter. Little sins, in your own eyes, little sins. You may think they don't matter. But they deaden our sensitivity. They numb our conscience. And in a little while, we'll be caught up in the deception of sin. You know, sin is very deceitful. And it's the first time we may do something, it may seem like, oh, that was terrible. But the second time, maybe it's not so bad. The third time, well, I guess it's okay. And after a while, you embrace it. Think of our world today. Things that years ago used to be considered heinous now are being celebrated publicly. Why is that? Because our conscience as a nation has been seared. And it doesn't happen overnight. It starts with those little bits. Jesus said this one time. He said, you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. And I could picture the guys listening to this saying, hey, that's me. Ten commandments, I got them all down. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Got it down. Yes, keep preaching, Jesus. But Jesus says, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And I could just picture all the guys, their eyes go down. You know, the cure is repentance, daily repentance. And we need to be serious enough about sin to eradicate it from our lives. You know, the very next verse, the very next thing Jesus says to the people is this. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. I remember one time hearing that verse, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm no eyes, no ears, arms gone, I'm in a wheelchair. But you know something? Jesus is talking about eradicating things from our lives. And there's some things we have in our lives that aren't good. I've said this before, and I got flack for it, but if your TV causes you to sin, pull the cable. And my son-in-law's the cable guy. But I'm telling you, if that's the problem, if the internet's the problem, do away with it. You know, we can't afford to play games with God. We can't afford to relive the history of the Israelites. You know, I really think that we live life day by day. And you know, when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, he told them to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And in Lamentations, it says this, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Every morning, God's mercies are new. And what I'm going to suggest to you today is every morning, take advantage of God's mercies for that day. For that day, take advantage of God's mercies. In your heart, acknowledge God that very first moment that you arise. Acknowledge Him. Ask for His power to overcome those temptations of sin for that day. Like the exhortation was said before, we have full access to God. He is available to us. I remember one time I was trying to get into a critical care unit to see a friend of mine who had a heart attack. And they said, "Family members only." And I stood at the door and I'm like, "I want to get in there to see him." And they're saying, "Family members only." And I'm like, "Well, he calls me Uncle Paul." And he's older than me. And in the background, you hear this, "Hello, Uncle Paul." And they let me in. But now, as a pastor, I got a pass for the hospital where I can go boldly. I can go boldly wherever I need to go. And you all have a pass, if you are a Christian, to go boldly before the throne room of God and get a hold of those mercies that He extends to us. Last thing I want to say is, don't fall away. Don't fall away. You know, little things lead to bigger things, and before you know it, it's a snowball. You know, at the at Men's Challenge, we have an intake form that guys fill out, and at the end of the intake form, we have just a question: are you a Christian? And more often than not, guys will check yes, and I always think that's amazing because some of them, their lives are such a mess. But the next thing we ask is what church they go to, and that next thing is blank. And I'm not saying going to church makes you a Christian, but it is telling of where your heart's at. But at some point, things can happen that'll snowball. And for these guys, you know, they're coming to us, and they want rescued. They want rescued. Well, I've been at this church 30 years now. 1984, I started coming. And I've been going nonstop 30 years. And some of you have been coming even longer than that. But I've seen people come, and I've seen people go. And you know, I wish 30 years ago I was preaching this sermon to some of the people that are no longer here. What's it going to take for you to fall away from Jesus Christ? What's it going to take for you to fall away? What is your showstopper? What's your showstopper? John 6:66-70 says this. Jesus had just gotten done preaching some really hard things, and many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus says to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? We have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And you think Jesus would pat him on the back and say, "That's my boy. Good job. Hang in there. Keep going." But this is Jesus' answer. "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." You know, what is your showstopper? You know who he's talking about there, right? Judas Iscariot. Many of Jesus' followers thought his teachings were too hard and they stopped following him and fell away. For some, life circumstances came into play and they didn't follow him, like the rich young ruler. Jesus made a very simple request: give all you have to the poor, follow me. But that was too hard, too heavy a price. Giving up his wealth was just too steep a price. Some people have unmet expectations. God, I thought you were going to do this. And I really think that's what happened to Judas. Judas Iscariot probably thought that Jesus was going to be some kind of political Messiah and take over Israel and kick the Romans out. And when it became clear that that was not the way he was headed, I think that did something to Judas's heart. But whatever the case, none of the disciples knew that Judas was going to betray Jesus. Jesus said this one time, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. They didn't all look at Judas. "Oh, yeah, we know who that is, Lord." They didn't have a clue. He was just one of the 12. He was just one of the 12. And they were surprised when Judas fell. You know, Monday, I'm teaching in the book of Acts, and one of the first things in the book of Acts the apostles do is choose a replacement for Judas. And his name's Matthias. And later on in the book of Revelation, Revelation 21, verse 12, you'll read, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." And you know what? Matthias's name is up there, and Judas's is not. What is your showstopper? What would it take for you to fall away from the Lord? No one is irreplaceable in the kingdom of heaven. You know, God will use whomever. Somebody else will come along. He'll replace, he'll move somebody else in that position. He'll take care of it. Eventually, the Apostle James gets beheaded. Peter's put in prison. Then one by one, all the apostles are killed in some way. Peter's crucified up and down according to tradition. Thomas, I think, goes to India and he's speared. But one by one, other than John, I think John was the only apostle that was not martyred. Oh, of course, they threw him, according to tradition, they threw him in a vat of boiling oil. And he survived. Maybe a little crispy, but he survived. But the kingdom of heaven keeps expanding, whether we're part of it or not. And I'll tell you something, I want to be part of that. In Colossians 1, verse 21, it says this, "And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed to you in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." You know, when Paul was getting to the end of his life, and he's writing a letter to Timothy, these are his words: "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." I want that to be my testimony at the end of my life. How about you? And be steadfast. Be steadfast. Ultimately, I want to hear the words of Jesus, and I want you all to hear the same words: "Well done, good and faithful servant." Isn't that good? I don't believe St. Peter's going to meet us at the gate. I believe Jesus Christ is going to meet us at the gate. And I want to hear those words: "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter in to the joy of your master." Amen. Kirk, you want to close this?
Well, Christianity is a relationship above everything else. You know, it's not just a theology. It's not just a form of belief. It's not just an activity of going to a church. It's a relationship. God calls us into a relationship. And a relationship, to have a relationship with somebody means there's reciprocal attention. God has turned his attention upon us. He created us. He calls us. The Bible says he even sends people out to preach the gospel. And his desire is to call people to a relationship where you say, yes, Lord, I choose. I choose to be in a relationship with you. And this morning, I want to pray for several people in the church, several kinds of people. And you can stand with me because we're going to close in prayer here now. I want to pray for the dads that are here. I was really encouraged by the scripture that Paul read where Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need strong men leadership. You know, sometimes you get this feeling like, well, religion, that's a woman's thing. Men, that's not a woman's thing. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to pray for the dads that are here today. And I just want God to just stir in your heart where you say, you know what? I'm going to take the lead in my family. I'm going to be an example. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to teach my children. I'm going to minister to my family. And I'm going to be the spiritual hub of my family and maybe even your extended family. Your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, your aunts. Be men of God. This is a choice that we make. Don't leave it. Don't leave it to your wife. Don't send your kids off to Sunday school and think, well, they'll get it by osmosis. No, you take the responsibility. We're men of God. If you're a single guy here, you don't have a wife yet. You know what women want? Let me tell you, I know what women want, right, Ruth? No, what women want, women really want a man of God. They may not be able to communicate that. They think they want something like Tom Cruise looking or, you know, somebody who has lots of money. What they really want is a man of God. The qualities of Christ, when they are seen in a man, is what your wife wants. And so you guys that are single and you're looking for to get married someday, I can just ask you to pursue Christ. Make that decision. You know what? As for me and my life, I'm going to serve God. If you're here today, you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. Everybody who's a follower of Jesus Christ came to a point where they had to cross that line. I did. My wife did. Bill did. Philip, you did it. Everybody here who's in a relationship with Jesus Christ came to a point where he drew the line and said, are you going to follow me? His call goes out. Will you follow me? And that's the question you've got to really ask yourself. No one's asking you to join a church, to start being a weirdo. We're asking you to make a decision to be in a relationship with your Creator, to follow Him. And the fourth group of people I want to pray for this morning is if you're a believer walking with Jesus Christ today, and like your example, little sips make you drunk. Maybe you're out there dabbling around in the things you know the Lord doesn't want you to be dabbling around in. We had a lot of exhortation this morning along that line. He's calling you to come back to Him. Come around. Come to the throne of grace to find mercy to help in the time of need. You got to make that choice every day. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we've been set free But now we have the choice to yield our members to either instruments of righteousness or instruments of unrighteousness. What are you going to do with your body today? I just want to choose to serve Him. It's falling in love with Jesus. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with Him that moves us closer to Him. So let's pray. First of all, if you see a dad around you somewhere, would you just reach out and touch him, lay your hand upon him? And let's pray for the dads. Father, I just pray for the dads that are here that have families, Lord, men with wives and children. Father, I ask you to encourage them by your Holy Spirit, even this day, Lord, that they would be men of courage, men of boldness, men of strength, that they would in their heart choose to say, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm putting Him first in my life. I'm going to take responsibility to walk with you, Lord. And I want to lead my wife. I want to lead my children. Give me the grace. Give me the strength. Lord, give me the spiritual hunger to pursue those things. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And Lord, let's pray. Let's lay our hands upon maybe some guys that are here that don't have a wife yet. You're a young guy. Maybe one day you're looking for that. Lord, I pray for the young guys that are here, even if they're an old guy. It doesn't really matter. We don't have a wife. We're looking for that one day. But Lord, what women are looking for, what women need is a man of God. I pray that these would be men who, again, choose to follow after you, Lord, with all their heart. That they would be men who pursue that relationship with you above all else. And that as the character of Christ is formed in us, Lord, we want to be able to shine for you in this world, to love people as you loved, to care for people as you cared. Lord, help us to be men like this. And I want to pray, if you're a Christian here today and you have found yourself maybe drifting, again, no one's going to ask you what you've been involved in, but you've been drifting. You're not as close as you were once with the Lord. You're finding yourself less satisfied with Him and more satisfied with other things. Other things are gaining your attention. Other things are pulling you aside. Would you raise your hand? Because I want to pray. I want to pray for you if you're a person like that. Just acknowledge it, that today, Lord Jesus, you know what? I want to make a decision to see this change in my life. And I want to pray for you. Father, I ask you, Lord, we don't have to stand here and confess before men. We know that we can stand before you and our hearts are open. You see all things, and you told us to come to the throne of grace to help in the time of need. And Father, I just pray that if we are being deceived by sin in our life, point it out to us, Lord. Show us the way. Lord, if we have found ourselves being hungering and thirsting after the things of this world rather than hungering and thirsting after righteousness, Lord, point that out and help us to choose today to follow after you. I'd like to ask finally, are there anybody in this room this morning, you've never made a decision to say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ? Maybe you've been seeking Him. Maybe you've been going to church. Maybe you've been reading your Bible. Maybe you've thought a lot about Him, but you never made a conscious decision to say, you know what, I want to follow you. Would you raise your hand? Because I'd like to pray with you. Anybody here this morning that's like that, and you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, today you can put the tenth stake in the ground and say, this is the day I made a conscious decision to follow Jesus. Is there anybody like that here this morning? Okay, I'm going to pray. Father, I ask you to move upon all of our hearts. Help us choose, Lord God, wisely concerning our spiritual growth, concerning our spiritual life. Bring the conviction of your Holy Spirit upon our lives that would move us out of apathy and move us toward a heart to pursue. Let us be like Joshua, who drew the line in the sand and said, choose this day who you will serve. Let us be men and women who choose you above all else. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Okay, hey, take some time to share your love with one another. If anybody has a